Mary Lou Williams began her career as Pittsburgh's little piano girl in the 1920s. She went on to become one of jazz music's great composers and humanitarians in a career that spanned six decades. Today is the 100th anniversary of Mary Lou Williams' birth, and tribute concerts across the country are marking the occasion. Lara Pellegrinelli reports.
It's late on a rainy Monday night, and a quartet is swinging hard in a hole in the wall in Times Square. The crowd is sparse, but the dozen or so patrons in the upstairs back room are listening intently.
Thank you so much. This is our debut performance of the music of Mary Lou Williams.
In a few weeks, saxophonist Virginia Mayhew will take this quartet to the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington, D.C. for the Mary Lou Williams Women in Jazz Festival.
I think she is probably the greatest female jazz player that ever lived, but I look forward to when it doesn't, the female part is irrelevant.
In jazz, where the ranks of instrumentalists are still dominated by men, Williams' status as an early female pioneer has turned her into an unwitting symbol. While female performers tend to be on their guard against tokenism, they're clear in their feelings about Williams and her place as a role model.
Her fearlessness and self-determination is an inspiration. When you see a person who is so clearly confident in their voice.
Pianist Jerry Allen played the role of Mary Lou Williams in the Robert Altman film Kansas City.
Because of her and her excellence and because of her commitment to this very pristine level of artistry, my generation of players that are women don't have to go through that kind of resistance. I can't imagine it, tell you the truth.
Williams' commitment started early. As a kid in Pittsburgh, she was playing practically from the time she could walk. Her mother practiced on an old-fashioned pump organ with the toddler in her lap to keep her out of mischief, as Williams recalled in a 1976 radio interview.
One day while she was pumping the organ, my fingers beat her fingers to the keyboard and began playing. And it must have been great because she ran out and got the neighbors to listen to it.
Mary Alfreda Scruggs began working professionally when she was seven. She was touring by 14. At 16, she married the saxophonist John Williams, and the couple became bandmates in Andy Kirk's Clouds of Joy.
It's the lady who swings the band.
Working not only as the band's pianist, but its arranger and composer, Williams quickly attracted attention. Earl Hines, Tommy Dorsey, Duke Ellington, and Benny Goodman all asked her to write for them.
She was one of the swingingest people that I ever played with. I mean, she would just swing you into bad health.
Pianist Billy Taylor was one of the musicians who hung out at Williams' Harlem apartment in the 1940s, which served as an incubator for the new style of music called bebop. Unlike others of her generation, Williams stayed on the cutting edge, says Taylor. To acknowledge her contributions, he later founded the jazz festival in her name at the Kennedy Center.
She felt that people didn't realize the certain things that she did. She said, well, you know, I've done certain things that I think are pretty special. Why don't people give me some credit for doing these things, you know? And she didn't say that very often, but she said it enough to let me know that it was something that she didn't really care for and would like to do something about.
In the 1950s, Williams stopped playing and experienced a profound religious conversion. She was baptized a Catholic at the Church of St. Francis Xavier in the West Village. Father Peter O'Brien, Williams' longtime friend and manager, says her spiritual convictions and her music were part of the same deep interior life.
Mary Lou's a creative artist. She would not be looking for anything in the church. She's looking for God. God.
The New York Philharmonic had already performed her Zodiac Suite in 1945. When she was coaxed back to the piano in the late 50s, she devoted herself to such works as Black Christ of the Andes, dedicated to Martin de Porres, the first Black Catholic saint. She also composed masses. Before she succumbed to cancer in 1981, Williams did charitable work, rehabilitating drug-addicted musicians and creating a jazz foundation in her name. She did not, however, like being lumped in with women jazz musicians. And Father O'Brien has an idea in keeping with Williams' spirit.
There was some question this year at the festival's 15th anniversary and Mary Lou's 100th birthday that it would simply be called the Mary Lou Williams Jazz Festival. I mean, they don't say the Duke Ellington Men in Jazz Festival.
For now, however, the name remains the same. Maybe next year. For NPR News, I'm Lara Pellegrinelli in New York.
You can celebrate 100 years of Mary Lou Williams with archival performances at our website, nprmusic.org.